Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this recording. We'll be picking up again on the letter P for prayer, and I think we've had two lessons in that so far. But we'll be picking up right where we left off on the last one. I want to thank you for listening in and being faithful to the Lord's Word. And don't underestimate what God's Word does for you. A lot of times we can't tell a difference right away as far as our faithfulness in listening to God's Word and studying it and allowing it to saturate us. But it is changing you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what we're doing. We're changing our thinking. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's what we're doing. We're getting rid of the bad and putting in the good, and getting rid of the false and putting in the truth. And God's word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So, again, I thank you for listening in and honoring the Lord and caring enough about the Lord. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And that's what we're doing, is honoring the Lord and studying His Word. Well, have you been praying? Have you been praying, thinking about praying more and talking with the Lord more? Is it in your desire or in your heart to want to make a difference and talk with the Lord to be in a better way of communicating with the Lord? The Bible says those that come unto Him must believe that He is. That's very important to begin with. You ever talk to somebody, and while you're sitting there talking, the other person is talking with you, and it's like their mind wanders off, and they're just talking just to be talking, but they're not talking to you? Kind of makes you want to get out of the conversation, doesn't it? And they're not interested in talking to me, and they're just rattling on, and they're not really talking to me. Well, I think that's the way the Lord thinks. That's what He says in His Word anyway. Those that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when we talk to the Lord, we have to believe that He really is there and that He really is talking to Him. You say, but I can't see Him, Brother Thurman. Well, of course not. We live by faith, and God is invisible. Jesus Christ is incarnate. He is the one that we could see, but He was here 2,000 years ago. And He's coming back, and we'll be able to see Him when He gets here. But whenever the Lord gives us His new set of eyeballs and that new body that's fashioned unto His glorious body, we're going to be able to see so many things that we've never seen before. It's going to be incredible. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things God hath prepared for them that love Him." I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Like Paul said, you know, he said, I'm ready to leave. He said, I'm ready to depart. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was a little suicidal, wasn't he? He said he would rather leave and go be with Christ. He said, but for your sake, it's better for me to stay in the body right now. But talking about prayer. Now, just to recap just a little bit, we began our study two lessons ago, and we talked about what is prayer. We discussed that, and of course, the bottom line and the root of prayer is asking. And the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. But there's something about talking with the Lord and talking about asking. Because later on in the study, we're going to find out that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, He said, you have not because, go ahead and say it with me, you ask not. You see, and I don't think it's God being mean to us. I think it's just that He's teaching us and helping us to learn how to talk to Him. And what a privilege, right? What a privilege to be able to talk to our Maker, our Creator. So the Lord teaches us how to believe in Him, like that one fellow said when he was talking to the Lord. The Lord asked him, says, "Dost thou believe?" He said, "I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief." You see, you can believe and you can have unbelief at the same time. I know that don't make sense, but it's true. And it makes sense to me because I talk to the Lord all the time about my unbelief. And the Lord, He counseled with all them fishermen and about all the apostles that was following Him around. He counseled with them quite a few times in the Scriptures, in the Gospels, about their unbelief. Remember that? But we have to believe that we're talking to the Lord, and it's so, and it takes practice. And anybody that think that tells you that that they have arrived and that they are right here, right now, lovey-dovey, huggy, kissy with the Lord and everything else, and that they don't have to practice and they don't have to study to show their self approved, they're lying. Because living for the Lord and being a Christian is a life of learning and a life of practice. Practice makes perfect. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not wrongly dividing it, rightly dividing it, you see. So, talking about prayer, what is prayer? We said it was to ask, and then we went on through there and we talked about, why should I pray? Well, men ought to, we discussed why should I pray? Well, because it's a command, and it was a privilege, and it's a privilege to pray. The Lord says men ought always to pray. He said, pray without ceasing. Ask. The Bible encourages us to ask. It encourages us to pray to the Lord and talk with the Lord. The Lord wants us to talk to Him. Who in the world would try to talk us out of talking to the Lord? Who would do that? Who would want us not to talk to the Lord? God Himself wouldn't, would He? Now, there are people in the Scriptures that the Lord said, don't even pray for Him no more because I'm not going to talk to Him no more. And there are people that they get to a certain destination called hell and the lake of fire to where it's too late. You don't ever get to talk to the Lord again. What a scary thought, huh? You know, it seemed like we would think that with the privilege of, and the Bible nowhere in there tells us not to talk to the Lord. It tells us how not to talk to the Lord, but it never tells us that we cannot talk to the Lord. The Lord always encourages us in the Scriptures to come to Him and to talk to Him. One of the main reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ came was to rent the veil in the holy between the Holy of Holies and the holy place so that the people that could only go into the courtyard, the people couldn't even come in the courtyard. Then there were people that had to stay in the courtyard. And then there were people that could go into the holy place but couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. And then there was one man that went in there one time a year to where God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. And he would go in there once a year. And if he didn't go in there right, God'd kill him. So to go in the presence of God, you have to be exactly right to go in the presence of God, because He is holy. And there's a lot of preparation before, under the law, to go in and talk with the Lord and have conversation with the Lord. Under the law. But when Jesus came, as soon as He died and gave up the ghost, one of the things the Scripture said happened was in the temple, that veil, that curtain that was hanging up between the Holy of Holies and the holy place, it ripped, it rent from top to bottom. You know how you take a piece of paper and you don't rip it from the bottom to the top? That's stupid, right? That ain't just not the way we tear paper. The way we tear paper is we reach down and we take the piece of paper and hold on to it, put our hands together and rip it from the top to the bottom all the way down. Well, that's the way the Bible says that curtain was ripped. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. So it seems to be that when Jesus died, and not seems to be, it is, but it seems that the scriptures don't exactly say it. It seems like the Father reached down and he grabbed that curtain and he ripped it from the top to the bottom and he opened that curtain up, and now a person don't have to be exactly right, because we can't be exactly right. We're sinners. But that because we're saved and we have the righteousness of the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, on us, when we get saved and get born again, this new testament, this new covenant that the Lord made when he died, now we can just come in and walk right through the holy place and go right up into the Holy of Holies and talk with the Lord. That's what the Lord meant when he said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might find grace in time of need, find help in the time of need. I messed that one all up, but anyway, you're going to find that out about me, that my brain's so scrambled, it'll pick all of it up, it just won't let it out at the same time. Okay, the Bible teaches us that prayer is both a command and that it is also a privilege. We'd be ignorant to think that it's our right to be able to come to God. Do what? It's a privilege to be able to come to the Lord. Prayer brings fullness of joy. It helps us to have joy. It helps us to be able to talk to God, brings comfort. It comforts us. It lets us know that that our faith is being exercised, that we're exercising our faith and we're doing what God has said and how God has said, how we serve him. The just shall live by faith. And we come to the Lord believing that he is. But when we pray to him, we don't pray just to be praying into the air. When you pray, you believe that he is. And when you talk to the Lord, you exercise faith talking to the Lord. You see, we don't talk into the air. Now, there are such things as repetitious prayer and just my father beat your father, dominoes and blabbity 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 blab and all that kind of stuff, which is vain and vanity and ignorant and just repetitious nonsense. But when we're talking to the Lord, the Bible says it's so easy to talk to the Lord that a child that the Lord recommends that we be, the Lord says that we should be childlike. When a child, you ever heard a child pray? When a child prays, he doesn't pre-think anything. He just talks from his heart, from their heart to the Lord, and just says what the purest part of the heart wants to say. And it's pure and genuine. There's nothing deceitful or premeditated about it. It's just talking with the Lord like we're both sitting down, like the apostles were sitting down and talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sitting down with God. What a thought, huh? And we get to see him one day, face to face. But the Bible teaches that prayer, this is a long introduction, isn't it? That prayer is a command and a privilege. We went over that. Okay, and how do we talked about how do I pray? How do I pray? And what posture should I adopt when praying? Remember we talked about that? That we could stand and pray, we could sit and pray, we could kneel and pray, we could fall on our face and pray, we could may pray with our hands up in the air, lifted up in the air. Posture has no bearing on there's no certain posture that the Lord requires in order for you to come to him, except that it be reverent and that it be that it show respect to the Lord. I believe that there are some postures that we should not adopt as far as being disrespectful to the Lord and taking advantage of His kindness to us. And you could probably think of some of those. You see, what we're talking about is prayer starts from the heart, and it will... prayer starts with a heart with humility and reverence for the Lord, and that will reveal a humble posture in you when you talk to the Lord. Now, the Bible says that there were people that stood and prayed, they sat and prayed, they went out by the river and sat and prayed outside. They could fall on their face and pray and hold their hands up and pray, and the Lord accepted every one of them. And was glad that people were talking to him. But there are some prayers that we need to be careful about with our posture, but our heart reveals our posture, doesn't it? So that teaches us a mighty truth right there, that prayer is from your heart. Prayer is talking to the Lord from your heart, and your posture will follow accordingly. To whom do I address my prayers? Now, we're going to start today on this right here. To whom do I address my prayers? What does this Bible say? Well, in John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me." This is the Lord talking. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Okay, here's another verse. Chapter 16, verse 23, also in the book of John. It says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Now, according to the Bible, not what we think or not what the such and such says or bishop such and such or cardinal such and such or reverend such and such or whatever. What does the Bible say? To whom do I address my prayer? Do you ever think about that? I mean, who do I talk to when I'm talking? I mean, everybody's got a target to where their conversation is going and who you're talking to. Whenever you go to prayer, who are you talking to? What's the Bible say? Well, in them last two verses that we just read, what did Jesus say? He said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." So according to the Son of God, and Jesus could have said, "Talk to me, address me, talk to me." You've heard a lot of people say, "Dear Jesus, dear Jesus. Dear Holy Ghost," what does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? What did he say? Who did he say to address my prayers to when I talk? He said for us to address our prayers to the Father. He said that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see, the Lord didn't say, the Lord Jesus could have said, "Well, I'm going to leave here and I'm going back to heaven." He said, "And when you pray, talk to me." He didn't say that. He said, "Talk to the Father." He said that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, get your Bible out and look it up and see it with your own eyes. But we want to be obedient to what the Word of God says, right? And you want to talk to whoever the Lord said to talk to. You say, "Well, Jesus get mad about it." No, Jesus ain't going to get mad about nothing. The Godhead doesn't get mad about each other. They're not jealous of each other. They are one. It's one God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they don't get jealous with one another. They're not in line vertically. They're in line horizontally. God the Father is not at the top and Jesus in the middle below him and then the Holy Ghost below him. God the Father is on the left, Jesus is in the center, and God the Holy Ghost is on the right, side by side. One God, equal in power, strength, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. All of them are one, three in one. Now, Jesus could have said, talk to the Holy Ghost. Talk to God, talk to me. But he didn't. He said, when you pray, address your prayers that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16:23 says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now, also in the book of Acts, chapter 12 and verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, Peter just spent lots of time with Jesus Christ. But the Bible didn't say that he prayed, that the church prayed to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the church prayed to God. Now, Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. But it specifically said God, talking about the Father. So, according to the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ, in two out of them three verses right there, and the third one being what the Scripture said the church prayed to, talking about the very beginning of the church, the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ says we are to pray to who? God the Father, right? If we pray to God the Father, are we scriptural? And are we praying to the right person in the Godhead? Yes, we are. So, to whom do I address my prayers? You address your prayers to God the Father. Now the next question. In whose name are we to pray? Does God the Father hear just any old prayer? The answer is no. There are requirements for your prayer in order for the Father. Now, you're in the body of Christ, and the Bible says to come boldly to the throne, and you are invited and you are welcome as a child of God. Okay, but the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you want the authority behind it, and you want my Father to hear the prayer and really pay attention to the prayer, he said in John chapter 14, listen to this. Jesus said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 16:24, the Bible says this, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Okay, another question. In whose name are we to pray? We are to pray in Jesus' name, right? That's what puts the authority and backs up the authority in it to where the Father, and when the Father hears you say in Jesus' name, that raises his attention. That's what the Lord said. Jesus said, when you go to the Father, tell him I sent you, or tell him in my name, Jesus' name. Jesus gave us his authority and his power behind our prayers in order to talk to the Father. Isn't that wonderful? So, to whom do I address my prayers? We address our prayers to the Father. That is what the Bible says. Okay, in whose name are we to pray? We are to pray in Jesus' name. Who said so? Jesus himself. Okay, another question. In whose power are we to pray? What power, or whose power, gets our prayers to the Father? Well, what's the Bible say? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Listen to this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Capital S. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Ephesians 6:18. And whose power are we to pray? Well, listen to this. Jude chapter 20. Now, we're reading the Scriptures. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. In whose power are we to pray? I am to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost has the power in our prayers to get them to the Father the way that they ought to be said and they ought to be heard. You see, the Bible says that we don't know how we ought to pray the way that we ought to because God is not like man. Now, the Lord created all the languages, and He knows what we speak, why we speak, and how we speak. But the Lord reads our hearts when we speak to Him. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks at the hearts. So when we speak to the Lord listens to our heart. Jesus said, whatsoever comes out of the mouth originates in the heart. So, when we pray and we talk to the Father, the Holy Ghost takes what we really mean, and if it's able to be said, so there's some things that, when you look back and you think of all the things that you have said to God, aren't you glad that there's some of those things that He didn't listen to? I remember one guy, and I think I've mentioned this before, one guy that I knew at the camp up there in Pennsylvania whenever we was running that troubled men's camp up there, one guy told me that he looked up at God one time and said, come on down here and I'll gouge your eyes out. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't listen to that? But the Holy Ghost takes the things that were sincere from our heart and He turns them in, if you will, He turns them into God's language and brings them before the throne in Jesus' name, and the Father understands exactly what we're talking about. You see, the power of God the Holy Ghost takes those prayers and conforms them into the way that God the Holy Ghost is God. He's part of the Godhead. He is one with the Lord, with the Father, and with the Son. But He takes the language and He turns it into, He takes our hearts, what we speak from our heart, He takes those things and He, with His power, and He turns them into what the Lord, what we really mean, that the Lord will understand. And takes them before the throne by His power in Jesus Christ's name, and then we can be heard. But the Lord made all this, He put all this together so that we could talk to Him. Because remember, the veil was there. You couldn't just run in there to God because God would kill you. Remember at the mountain when the Jews, the Israelites, were all around the mountain and God said, keep the animals away, you stay away. And He descended in a big black cloud and came down and burnt the top of that mountain and burnt the rocks and melted the rocks and everything when God's presence came down. And when He started talking, then people said, Moses, please tell God not to talk to us no more. You talk to us. Scared them to death. But if they had walked up and touched that mountain and disobeyed the Lord, He'd have killed them. You don't come to God the way you want to in just any old way. You come to the Lord under His conditions, which are very kind and very generous to us. So you see, the Lord put all this together concerning prayer and made it beautiful for us and easy for us. He saves us. God the Holy Ghost comes in and dwells in our body, and He's the earnest. He's the earnest of the inheritance. He comes in, and He dwells in us, and He's not going to leave, and He's in us, and He helps us. He's our teacher. He's our comforter, and He is the one that takes our prayers to the Lord, to the Father. And then Jesus is the one that has the authority to take prayers, that the prayer can go before the Father because of His sacrifice that He made. And then the Father is wanting to hear our prayers, but He can't because He's God. And it has to come before Him in a right way. and it comes under Jesus' authority because Jesus is righteous and his righteousness is on us after we're born again, and he's put our sin away and put his righteousness on us. So it comes in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord put that thing together so beautiful concerning prayer. You getting this? Isn't it beautiful? To whom do I address my prayers? Jesus said, address them to the Father. So from now on when you pray, talk to the Father. In whose name are we to pray? According to John 14:14 and 16:24, it says I'm to pray in Jesus' name. When you go to prayer and you talk to the Father, you say, Father, I want to talk to you about this. And you talk to him and you talk to him. When you get ready to put some authority behind your prayer, say, Lord, Father, I ask you all this in Jesus' name. And the Father says, uh-huh, okay. And then the God, the Holy Ghost, is the one that puts it exactly like so that our Heavenly Father can completely understand exactly what we're saying. You ever try to talk to somebody and it won't come out of your mouth right, but it's in your heart? Yeah. Well, the Lord even made that to where there's no mistakes in it. When you come to the Lord, he knows exactly what you mean because God the Holy Ghost clears it up for him like that. All right, that's not all. Let's move on. All right, what's the right attitude in prayer? Now, we'll spend a little time on this one. Now, I got some scriptures I want to read to you, but the way we're going to do it now, I got about 9 different attitudes that we have. They're not bad attitudes. They're good attitudes. For instance, reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, and openness. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some scriptures and probably, 9 or 10 different scriptures. And when I read them, we're going to find out which one of these 9 that scripture applies to when we go to prayer concerning prayer. Let me give you one and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Let's take Psalms chapter 62, verse 8. The Bible says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Notice the heart. Notice the encouragement to come to the Lord. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Okay, so according to that verse right there, what would be the attitude according to that verse that encourages us to come to the Lord? Would it be reverence? The Bible says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Reverence or boldness? I think boldness would be in there, wouldn't it? It encourages us in that verse to be bold. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. You'd be bold to do that. Would faith be one of them? Of course. Thanksgiving? It wasn't really a thanksgiving attitude in that one, but persistence? No. Dependence? Yes. Pour out your heart before him. Trust in him at all times. You know, not only, you don't just talk to any old body about your most personal things, do you? The things that you talk to people that you love and you trust that'll keep your secrets, you don't go blabbing that. You make sure you look around and notice who's listening and who hears and everything else. Same way with the Lord. You don't just trust anybody with your secrets, but you can trust the Lord. You can depend on him that he will keep your secrets. Earnestness, pour out your hearts before him. Confidence, openness. Let's do another one. Luke chapter 11, verse 3. We're talking about the right attitude in prayer. Now, we said Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. We'll call that one dependence, right? and boldness. All of them can be, you can have more than one in these verses. All right, what about Luke chapter 11, verse 3? It says, give us day by day our daily bread. What attitude would that be in prayer? Would it be reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, or openness? Give us this day our daily bread. What's that sound like? Dependence, right? Lord, I need some food. We depend on Him, and the Lord encourages us to come to Him in prayer and depend on Him. And by the way, just a little side note, the more you do that, the more you're going to find out just how faithful the Lord is and just how much you can depend on Him. I'll testify to that. The Lord has been very kind to me, and He's never let me down as far as my needs. He's always, I have all sufficiency in all things, all of the time. It's amazing how thorough the Lord is in taking care of you. I wonder sometimes, and I thank Him because I say, Lord, out of all the people that You have to deal with and talk to and see about and people in the hospitals and old folks that are suffering and all the people that are suffering with diseases and things like that, You still had time to listen to me and to get me a loaf of bread. What a wonderful Lord we have. Another one. How about Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8? Here's what the scripture says. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. So what's the attitude there? Would it be reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, or openness? What would you say? Persistence, right? Knock, 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 knock. Get up and give me some bread. I'm in the bed. Y'all do that with your children, don't you? Mama, but I want. Would you shut up and leave me alone? Oh, all right. That's called importunity. But persistence. The Lord encourages us to be persistent about our prayers. I don't understand that personally. I don't know why. I guess you can't drive the Lord crazy like kids can drive their parents crazy, or we can drive each other crazy. I don't guess you. The Lord can be driven crazy by asking Him over and over and over and over and over. But the Lord encourages us in many places in the Scriptures. I don't understand that. I wouldn't, if I was a creator, I wouldn't encourage people to ask me more than once. But that's why He's God and I'm not. Okay, but the Lord does encourage us to be persistent and to continue to ask. That's an attitude in prayer, the right attitude. The Lord encourages us to have persistence in our prayers. Continue in prayer, the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Okay, let's do another one. It's kind of good, isn't it? How about Luke chapter 18, verse 1 through 5? Let's see what it says. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And then we know the rest of it and how it goes. he didn't take her seriously, but she kept on and kept on and kept on at him. And finally he said, I'm going to do what this woman asked me to do and help her out, because she's going to drive me nuts if I don't. And he helped her out. What would that be as far as an attitude of prayer, this woman's request toward the judge versus, or not versus, but in comparison to our prayer and the right attitude? Would it be reverence? Would it be boldness? I think boldness would be in there, don't you? Her talking to a king. A faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence. How about earnestness? Confidence. It couldn't have been confidence, because he could have put her in jail instead of helping her out. Openness. I think earnestness would be in there, wouldn't you? But see, the attitudes that we... some key attitudes while we're praying, the attitudes that we should have that the Bible shows us in example and by command, shows us about this thing concerning prayer. God is very kind to us, isn't he? I mean, even though you just can't talk to the Lord just any old way you want to talk to him, there are many ways that the Lord gives us privileges to be able to talk to him. Because of what Christ has done and the power of God the Holy Ghost, and because how generous and forgiving and merciful the Heavenly Father is. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Let's do another one. Romans chapter 15, verse 30, the Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." What would be an attitude in prayer concerning that? Reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, or openness. What'd he say? "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." What would that be? What would you say? I don't know. Persistence? Boldness? Confidence? He said to strive for him and help him out in prayers. That's an attitude, isn't it? Confidence. Having confidence and talking with the Lord for somebody else and helping them out. That's an attitude in prayer. That's a very important attitude. And you have to have confidence and boldness to pray for other people, don't you? Even the things that you don't know, the ignorant things. I don't mean ignorant as in stupid. I mean ignorant as in the unknown. There's a lot of people say, that can't mention what they want you to pray for. They just want you to pray, lift their name up to the Lord, because it's too private to mention. But that you would lift my name up to the Lord and that he would pay attention to my prayer. We pray for one another like that, don't we? And praise the Lord that we can. Let's do another one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Of course, we see the attitude in that would be boldness. Boldness. We can have an attitude in prayer of boldness. Not arrogance. Boldness. A big executive man that's running a big company and it's busy all the time, and he's running everything. He's up there in his office, and he has a son, and his son, say he's probably 10 or 11 years old or something like that. He doesn't have to get permission to come into his daddy's office, even though he's the executive. The secretary don't even come into his office without permission, and definitely nobody in the company comes into his office without permission. I mean, he's the executive. He's the man. He's the boss. God is God. But God said, come boldly. Why? Because we are his children. You've been born into his family. You are a son of God. You're part of the body of Christ. You are privileged in that way. The Lord said so. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The right attitude in prayer, reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, openness, tell the truth, confidence. Lord, I trust you. I need this. You said to ask, and I'm asking. Earnestness. Lord, please, I need this. This needs to happen. Please help me with it. Earnestness. Dependence. Father, you know I ain't running after, and I ain't going after the world. I ain't going after the devil, and I ain't going after this flesh. I'm waiting on you. I'm asking you, and I'm depending on you. Attitude in prayer. And then persistence, thanksgiving, faith, boldness, and reverence. Let's do another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What would be the attitude in that prayer? Thanksgiving, of course. When you talk to the Lord, be sure to thank him. I mean, how can you talk to the Lord without thanking him? The more we learn how to pray, and the closer and the more confident we get with the Lord, and the more personal we get, and we even hear and begin to hear him answer. I've heard the Lord answer me before. I sure have. I laughed with the Lord one time before. I told you I was going to tell you about that, and I will before this prayer lesson's over. But yeah, I've laughed with the Lord several times. I heard him laugh, not at me, but with me. I'm sure he's laughed at me before, but I didn't know about that. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When you talk to the Lord, be sure to thank him. Have you ever disliked somebody thanking you for something? I mean, have you ever reprimanded somebody for saying thank you to you? Oh, by the way, thank you for what you did for me. Ah, shut up. Don't thank me. Now, there's some people that do that, but you shouldn't. Anytime somebody wants to tell you thank you, you should allow it. Because that's from the heart. Thank you comes from the heart, man. In everything, give thanks. The right attitude in prayer. We talked about in whose name should we pray? Who should we address our prayers? And whose power are we to pray? And the right attitude in prayer. You don't just come to the Lord like you would talk to flippantly, like the Lord ain't nobody, you know. I mean, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Man, that put me in shivers. I couldn't even say that. I can't even say that. Let's see these other scriptures, and we'll... let's see these other scriptures. That was 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Here's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. It says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. No, 16, I'm sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Now, here's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what's the attitude in that? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. What would that be? Openness, confidence, earnestness, dependence, persistence, thanksgiving, faith, boldness, reverence. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. I think faith would be one there, wouldn't it? That would be part of our faith, the attitude of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And when we come to the Lord to talk to Him and pray to Him and have conversation with Him, we definitely want to please Him, don't we? Of course we do. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we have to have faith to please Him. Okay. And it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's exercising our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The reason that you know my faith is being exercised is because I'm talking to something that I can't see. Faith. And of course, reverence. Those that come unto Him must believe that He is. That's part of reverence, wouldn't you say? Let's look at another one. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What would you say the attitude in that request would be? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then there's a little parentheses beside that request. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed to and fro. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What would you say that would be? Faith? Confidence? How about confidence? It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. We think God just says, well, I'll give you a little bit. The Bible says that God gives to all men. Are you part of all men? Yes, you are. All men liberally. Confidence and openness, huh? Confidence. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God doesn't make fun of us for coming to him or talking to him about anything. He doesn't upbraid men. He don't make you feel foolish or stupid for that. God doesn't do that. You know who does that? Who is it? Satan and the world. And guess what else? Your flesh. Your flesh will make you feel stupid for talking to God, or try to anyway. Your flesh tries to keep you from talking to God all the time. Don't you know that? Why don't you know that? The world always trying to do something to keep you away from God and draw you away from talking to the God to the Lord and communicating with Him. It does everything it can to keep you away from Him. And we all know that Satan does also. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Confidence. Come to the Lord in confidence. Nothing wavering. Ask it. And the Lord said, if you believe it when you ask, you shall have it. Now, He's not talking about that you could step off of a building and not fall 30 stories. The law of gravity is going to take its effect. Now, Jesus walked on water and so did Peter. But Jesus told him that he could do that, and when he stepped out, he had faith. But when he looked at the waves, what happened? He started losing his confidence, and what happened to him? He started sinking. Now, could the Lord have left him up there on top of the water with his power? Of course he could. But because of Peter's faith, he was able to walk on that water in Jesus' name, under Jesus' power. But whenever he lost his confidence, he started sinking. Let's look at another one. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You think your prayer don't get some attention in heaven? The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It gets attention. So what would you say that prayer's attitudes concerning? Reverence? Boldness? I think boldness would be part of it, don't you? Fervent? Being fervent in prayer? Faith? Thanksgiving? Persistence? That'd probably be part of it, wouldn't it? Dependence? Earnestness? That'd be part of it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confidence? You ever heard somebody say, keep your money, pray for me, and mean it? There are a lot of missionaries that I've heard come in churches and they say, you know, thank you for the gift and thank you for this, but I'd much rather have your prayers. You ever heard somebody say, well, if you want something to get to God, go over there and ask Grandma such and such. She is a prayer warrior. You ever heard somebody say that? Or talk about somebody that the people know that their prayers get answered? Well, they're not any more special than anybody else. The Bible says that anybody else could get to the Lord. The Lord said, everybody can come to me. My children can come to me. And these scriptures are for all of us. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. In other words, you're keeping your heart right and you're staying in fellowship with your brothers and sisters and loving them with Christ's love. You're confessing your faults one to another, and that means your pride is not standing up and you know you ain't drowning with your nose up in the air. You're confessing your faults one to another. You're fixing and patching things up like they ought to be and respecting the Lord and His Word. And you're praying for one another that you may be healed. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And notice it said, a righteous man. You're walking with the Lord. And as far as you know, you don't have any offense between you and God. You're not holding or hiding anything from the Lord. And you don't have any offense with man. As far as you know, anything that's come in between you and somebody else, you have went and fixed it up as best as you know how. In front of the Lord. No problems between you and the Lord, and no problems between you and anybody else. You're at peace with everybody as far as your power goes. How about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7? Now, we got a lot of them. We just got just a few more here, and we'll bring this lesson to a close. I know we've talked a lot about the attitude in prayer, but it all kinds of narrows down to the heart attitude when you're talking to the Lord anyway. To whom do I address my prayers? To the Father. Is there any requirements to get your prayer to the Father? Yes. In whose name do I pray? The Lord Jesus Christ's name. If you don't pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name, you got no power. You got no right to talk to the Father. That was the problem to begin with when Adam done what he done. We lost the right to talk to the Father. And the Father made a way where we could get back to Him. Now, whose power takes our prayers up to Him? God the Holy Ghost. You see, the Lord made this thing perfect. But then again, there's an attitude about this thing. And there is an arrogant way to talk to the Lord. and a way that we should not speak to the Lord. I mean, there's some things in the New Testament, in the Gospels, where some of them guys were talking, some of those Pharisees and those Sadducees was talking to the Lord Jesus. One time they was talking to him, and he told them, "And you do dishonor me." The Lord Jesus told them, "The way you're talking to me, you're dishonoring me." So there is a way that you can speak to the Lord that dishonors him. And we don't want to do that because we love him. And we don't want to talk to our Lord like that. So let's look at these last. We got two more. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What would that be? Reverence, boldness, faith, thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, or openness? I think dependence would have a lot to do with that, wouldn't it? And confidence? You have to have confidence to cast all your care upon him, don't you? "For he careth for you." That would be trust in him. Reverence, earnestness, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Confidence, that I know the Lord is telling me the truth, and he never lied to me, and he does listen to me. The devil's a liar. He does listen to me. Devil ever told you that? I didn't think he had time to tell you because he spends so much time over here telling me. He tells me all the time the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. When I go to pray, and he tells me all kind of stuff. And you too. Doesn't he tell you that you're not? You know how you've been thinking and the thoughts you've been having. What makes you think the Lord's going to listen to anything you got to say? That's him, ain't it? That's him. But that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. Let's believe it. And finally, 1 John chapter 5, or lastly, not finally. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." In other words, because we know the Lord, and he is our heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son, is our Savior, and God the Holy Ghost is our Comforter and dwells within us and won't never leave us or forsake us. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Is the devil right when he tells you that God doesn't hear him? The Bible says that this is the confidence that we have in the Lord, that if we ask anything, does anything mean anything? But when we ask for anything, we ask according to his will, he heareth us. We can ask for anything confidently, according to his will, he hears us. So every time I ask the Lord something, and as far as I know, it's according to his will, the Bible says the Lord hears my prayer and hears your prayer. Do you believe that? You should. That's what the Scripture says. I don't care what what's-his-name down the road says. The Scripture says. That's what we believe. That's our doctrine. That's our final authority. That's what we believe to be and to not to be. So what would that one be? "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Reverence? I think reverence would be one in that, don't you? An attitude that you would have, a reverent attitude, that you would make sure that when you're talking to the Lord and you're asking for anything, that you would ask according to his will and not try to trick him. You would not try to ask him for anything that you know he's not going to give you or that he's not going to approve of. Boldness, asking for anything, faith, that he heareth us. You have to have faith to believe that the Lord hears you and believe his word when he says he'll hear you. Thanksgiving, persistence, dependence, earnestness, confidence, and openness. confidence. These are all wonderful things, aren't they? We're talking about prayer. Talking about prayer. I hope you've learned something. Every time I go over these, I learn something brand new. God, the Holy Ghost teaches me, and He just nails it and just solidifies it and saturates me and just lets me know what the Scripture says and teaches me what the Scripture says concerning prayer. And that's what I want to know, and that's what you should want to know, is what does the Bible say concerning prayer? Well, we found out a lot of things today. We have found out, to whom do I address my prayers? Who is it? The Father. You're right. Okay. In whose name are we to pray? According to what the Bible says, you pray in Jesus' name. Right? Okay. And who is the one that controls the power of the prayer? And whose power do we pray? You pray in the power of God the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord set it all up perfectly. And then we talked about the attitudes of prayer. We should pray with reverence. The Bible's taught us that. We should pray with boldness. The Bible said, come boldly unto the throne. We should pray by faith. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For those that come unto Him, how do we come to the Lord? By prayer. We should pray and thanksgiving, with an attitude of thanksgiving. We should thank the Lord when we talk to Him. We should pray with persistence. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And we should pray with dependence. We should trust the Lord and depend on Him. The Lord appreciates us depending on Him. Let me ask you something. You people that are mothers and fathers, do you like it because your children depend on you? Of course you do. Man, that's part of being a daddy. That's part of being a mama. Is that you have somebody that depends on you. You know, I have heard before that's why some people commit suicide. It's because they got nobody to depend on them. They got nobody to care for. And you know, our Heavenly Father tells us in the Scriptures to depend on Him. Trust Him. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And in earnestness, pray. I mean, when we talk to each other, you put the volume in it. You put the feeling in it. You put the, I don't know what you want to call it, earnestness in it. When you pray to the Lord, be honest with Him and talk to Him like you're talking to Him where you could see Him. Only thing is you can't see Him. But you're talking face to face with Him. The Bible says, even though He be not far off. And pray with confidence. When we pray with confidence. We pray expecting the Lord to hear us, and we pray according to His will, and we know He's going to hear us, and we trust that He's going to answer it in the very best way that it needs to be answered, with confidence and openness. You be very, 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 very honest with the Lord. Sometimes we have to dig deep to get the honesty out, don't we? Well, what I really mean, Lord, is, what I really mean is, we have to dig deep, don't we? Because we're some deceitful, lying people. And it takes God's power, and it takes the power of His Word for us to stay clean. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. Well, we'll stop right there. And in our next lesson, we're going to go into another category. We have been talking about how do I pray concerning posture we talked about. We talked about addressing our prayers. We talked about in whose name. We talked about the power, whose power. And we talked about the attitudes of prayer. Okay. And we, every bit of this we took right out of the Scriptures. We did not have a forum about it, did we? We got into the Scriptures and we read the Scriptures and we went from there. That's how we know we got it right. You see? Okay. Next, we're going to talk about when should I pray. When should I pray? That'll be the next topic that we talk about when we come together. Let me give you these scriptures, okay? I appreciate your patience, but you know what? This time that you're spending right now in God's Word is going to be some time that you're going to appreciate when you get face-to-face with the Lord, spending time and honoring His Word. Okay, we talked about, we begin with, to whom do I address my prayers? All right, and we started out with John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 16, verse 23. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. John chapter 14, verse 14. John chapter 16, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Jude 20. Or say verse chapter 1, verse 20. And then here are the ones about the attitudes that we just went over. Psalm chapter 62, verse 8. Luke chapter 11, verse 3. Luke chapter 11, verse 5 through 8. Luke, chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. Romans, chapter 15, verse 30. Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. James chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Okay, and there they are. Well, thank you for being faithful to the Lord, and thank you for trusting Him. Thank you for honoring the Lord's Word. You don't realize how much the Lord values somebody that honors His Word. The Lord said He magnifies His Word above His name. And He said, those that honor me, I will honor in return. And if you've ever been honored by the Lord, you've been honored and you never forget it. So thank you for having Bible study with me. And we will do this again on the next program recording. I guess I better shut up because I'm running out of words. But thank you. God bless you for minding the Lord and disciplining yourself to sit down and listen to His Word and get it in your mind and in your heart. You'll never regret it. I love you with Christ's love. Thank you again for your faithfulness to the Lord. Talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.